Well, good morning. Try again. Good morning. On Sunday mornings, we've been discussing Hebrews chapter 11, and we've so called it the Hall of Fame of Faith, as so many others before us. And we have discussed what people have done in the Old Testament that led them by their faith to do something very important for all of us to learn from. And in the New Testament as well, we also have people that are called people of faith, people that do something by faith. And this morning I want to examine one particular passage with you in the book of Mark chapter 2. Okay, Mark chapter 2. In this passage, in verses 1 through really 13, we find a particular example of someone that is healed by Christ. To kind of give you a spoiler of what takes place, if you don't know already, this person is healed. However, we find this also written in two other gospel accounts. So the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all record this event from the same perspective, from someone on the outside looking on the situation through inspiration. And we find that from these three different passages, when you combine their story, their account, you find some details and some nuances that are in some that are not in others. But the one that has the most detail is in the account of Mark. So this is pretty rare for Mark to have more details than anywhere else, because Mark usually is less of a volume, less details because of how short the book particularly is. But for this morning, we'll be in Mark chapter 2. If we look over in our text, I'll begin reading in verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing him a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. So we find this passage a very important account of a time in which Jesus healed someone in a physical sense. But more important than that, we find in this particular account that there are four people of some kind of faith mentioned within this particular text. And for this morning, I want to go through and examine what these four different people or groups are so that we can account what kind of faith they had. I want to begin with the idea of the faithful son. We look at Jesus here in this account, and he is someone who is faithful to God and to what his mission was. Healing was a very important part of what Jesus did to confirm his identity as the Son of God. Over in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So if you want a verse that gives you a three basic point outline as to what Jesus did while he was here during his public ministry, Matthew 4:23, he was teaching, he was preaching, and he was healing. So we have those three main things that Jesus did in his life. And of course, we know how important faith is to all things in our spiritual lives. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, talking about God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So a very important part of what Jesus did through faith in this life is He healed people, because that was part of His mission. Also, we look at this text. There are not many details given about the paralyzed man. He's called the paralytic. He has at least four friends. We know that for certain. But apparently, it seems to be the case that he had enough faith in Christ that he could be brought to Him and healed, that he went through this journey. If he was someone that did not believe Christ had the power to heal or to make him whole, this would not have taken place, because he would not be taken by his four friends to see Christ. So obviously, the faith of the paralytic is seen by the events of him being carried by his four friends. But I think maybe more importantly, this is kind of hard to say for certain, but maybe more importantly is the faith of his friends, his faithful friends. If we look back into our text, we see again in verse 2, there is no longer room when he was preaching the word to them. Verse 3, then they, talking about the people, came to him, bringing a paralytic who is carried by four, is what the original text says, just carried by four. So four men obviously are implied. And then in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, that "their" obviously is plural. It's not just talking about the faith of the one who is paralyzed, but no doubt including the faith of the four men that were carrying this paralyzed man to Jesus to be healed. Now that's very, very important, because if we recognize that the people that were there were full of faith and therefore they were healed, this is what we sometimes kind of commonly say is faith healing. Not in the sense of what we find on TV, of someone walking up there on crutches and then being smacked in the forehead, and they throw their crutches around and they walk off the stage joyously. Those stage productions are just entertainment. They're not truly what Jesus did here in the first century. Because we recognize the most important thing was not healing someone in a physical sense. The more important thing was a spiritual healing between the forgiveness of sin and the justice of God. That was the emphasis, never the healing. In fact, if those folks could actually heal people, they'd be better served going to hospitals or at the front line of battlefields than going to some stage that they rent out for $1 million. So, nevertheless, we find this faith healing taking place not because the healing was significant, but because the results of what the people saw from the healing is what Christ really wanted to emphasize. The final category, or fourth category, of what we find for faith in this particular account are people that do not have faith, the faithless scribes. In Matthew's account of this particular text, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, we learn that they are going to people that are Pharisees, and they are scribes. So the people that are the scribes mentioned here are those that were of the category of the Pharisees. That's important, because if they are Pharisees and they are scribes, then they must be working for the Sanhedrin. If that's the case, then they knew the law extremely well from the law of Moses. They knew the Torah, they knew the Mishnah, and they knew the Shema. So they knew all the law that was pointing them towards who was going to be coming, like the Son of God, who could perform these miracles, prove that He was Jesus, prove He was the Lamb of God. And they should have been looking for someone to have these qualities to confirm He was the Messiah or the Christ. So when Jesus is someone that is teaching and preaching the Word, and He's able to forgive sins, and is able to heal someone, this should have pointed them towards the person that they've been waiting for all these years. But again, looking back into our text, in verse 5, He said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And I wonder if the four men and the paralyzed man were kind of scratching their head for a few minutes, because when they brought this paralyzed man down from the rafters to the person of Jesus, what do you think they were trying to get Christ to do for this paralyzed man? Probably make him not paralyzed. That would make sense to me. If you bring someone who's paralyzed to someone who can heal someone, make him not paralyzed. But instead, the immediate response is, your sins are forgiven. So how is that helpful? Well, obviously having our sins forgiven is helpful, but not in the immediate sense. And no doubt Christ recognized this. If we look at what they said in their hearts, verse 6, again, this wasn't verbal communication among themselves. They were just thinking, who does this guy think he is trying to forgive sins? Does he think he's God or something? And then we know in verse 8, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise, take up your bed and walk? Which is easier? Well, if you heal someone physically, it's at the most going to extend their lifetime. So maybe 30, 40, 50 years, right? A paralyzed man being healed, able to walk and so on. Or someone's sins being forgiven, that they can be right with their God for all eternity. Which is more significant? Obviously, the sins being forgiven. So if he's able to say, your sins are forgiven you, and his sins actually are forgiven, no doubt he could say, arise, take up your bed and walk, and that would take place. It's exactly what happens here in verse 10 and 11. Verse 12, to emphasize this again, immediately he arose, he took up the bed, went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. You got that right. Jesus was here. He was on the scene. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was healing. And he was someone that confirmed his identity by these faithless scribes saying within themselves, who does this guy think he is? And he showed them who he thought he exactly was by healing this paralyzed man. It's a wonderful show here that we see of Jesus finally announcing by action exactly who he is. These people who should have known who he was just by the confirmation of the Word of God alone. I want to close out our thoughts here by looking at one major difference between what we find in Matthew, Mark, and then the end of Luke. If we look over in Luke chapter 5 and verse 25, we see a different variation of what we read about the results of this event taking place. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 25, immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. The first reaction he had besides going back home, which would be my reaction, was he glorified or he worshiped God. That was his immediate response. That is a wonderful thing to read, because in our lives today, good things happen to us all the time. Sometimes bad things happen, but good things happen to us all the time. What should our knee-jerk response be then when we receive good things from our Father? Ought to be to glorify God, to thank God for what He's done for us, to worship Him for all that He is to us. Of course, that's why we're here this morning, to glorify and to worship Him. But look in verse 26. We got the paralyzed man response. Here is everyone else's response. Verse 26, and they were all amazed. I love that word amazed in the original, because it has a strong connotation of being dumbfounded, or I love this word, flabbergasted. I love that word so much. It has a sense of being a strong amazement, just in awe of what took place. And they glorified God. So they worship God as well, thanking Him for what He did for this paralyzed man, rejoicing with those that rejoice, as Paul said, and were filled with fear. This fear is not a trembling fear that we have in light of some scary thing. This kind of fear is a loving respect that we have towards someone that is more powerful than us. It's an authoritarian kind of respect, recognizing that God has the power to do this, not only heal someone, but actually forgive sin through Christ. That should cause us to fear. to bow in reverence to His power, His majesty, that we can be right before Him through Jesus Christ. And they had one common saying in that particular day: we have seen a strange thing today. Got that right. They probably never seen anyone healed that kind of way before. And some, after this account, probably never seen it anytime after that until the Holy Spirit worked through the apostles after AD 33. So again, looking into this text, this is just one of the first healings that Jesus did for a large crowd to prove that He was the Son of God, to be able to show that He had the authority over sin, which God gave Him as the Lamb of God. And He proved it here, this particular text of Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. The faithful Son doing His work, the faithful paralytic accepting the healing grace of Jesus, the faithful friends who thought enough of their friend to bring him to the Savior to be healed. A great lesson for all of us. If we know the source of healing spiritually, which is Christ, we should want to bring our friends if they have a need, right? That's the application. And finally, the faithless scribes that allowed all this event to take place to show us the power that Jesus had to heal physically and to heal spiritually while He was on the earth. And of course, now for us at the right hand of the Father, He can heal for us in a spiritual sense, being our advocate. I want to encourage all of us, if we are someone who is in need of healing this morning in a physical sense, to know that the good physician cares about you and your suffering. But more importantly, if you're someone who is in need of spiritual healing between you and your Creator, Jesus was the way in the first century, and He is the way in this century. If anyone has a need to come forward this morning, to respond to the invitation of the Lord, to make your heart right with God, please come forward now, standing we sing.